Christ. But what does it mean to truly have the mind of Christ? How do you achieve that state of mind? Philippians 4:8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. These are the things that we should think about and meditate on." Bow your heads, please. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day you've given us, and thank you for letting us come together in worship. And please help us all to learn something new, and let these words be from you. Amen.
Amen.
Today, I'd like to talk about the effects of the mind on the rest of your body and how optimism is key. I have found that what we put into our minds affects our walk with Christ. Generally, we all have one destination in mind and shouldn't let something like our thoughts get in the way of that destination. When I was away at boarding school, I saw a lot of depression and stress, and people don't usually pay much attention to the root of the problem, where it all starts from. It starts in your mind. It's a powerful tool that can really affect you. If you think something to be true, then you start believing it, and your actions follow. For example, if you think you're annoying and no one likes you, you tend to get depressed. Ever heard the phrase, "You can do anything you set your mind to"? So if you conclude a thought, it will become reality. Now, I'm no brain doctor, but I do know your brain has a very big impact on the rest of your body. When your mind thinks something, the rest of your body follows. It doesn't take long at all for the rest of your body to get the message the brain is sending. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You should be aware of what the brain is capable of. Optimism is key. Have you noticed that when people are positive during a hardship, the outcome is often better than when people are freaking out and thinking the worst? One example of how optimism is helpful is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. So if you turn your Bibles to Exodus 2, verse 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took from him the ark of old brushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his child stood off afar off to wit what would be done with him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew's children.' Then she said to the sister, 'To Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called him Moses, because I drew him out of the water." Moses' mother had optimism as well as a lot of faith. She trusted in God and kept optimistic that her baby would be okay. She didn't expect to see him again, but by being optimistic and having faith, God found a way for her to raise her child freely until the given time. God is amazing.
Amen.
This shows that by having good God on your side, nothing but good can come from your experience.
Amen.
Having God be the center of your thought calms you and helps you not to be depressed or stressed. Now, I'd like to show an example of a person who was not optimistic and didn't care to let God be the center of their thoughts. Please turn to Matthew 26, verse 47. And while he yet spake to Judas, one of the 12 came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, "Whoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And therefore he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Skip down to chapter 27, verse 1, please. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he had condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went away and hung himself. After Judas had seen what he had done, he repented, returned the money, and hung himself. Did you think if he was right with God and had him be the center of his thoughts, that he would have traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? I believe if he had made God the number one priority and had his mind focused on him instead of money, I wouldn't be using him as a reference of what not to do. Can you imagine turning in the all-powerful, all-knowing, merciful, loving, caring Father of all for 30 pieces of silver that in the end meant nothing to you? The mind has a control over us. Judas's mind was on money, not on God, and look what he achieved by wandering away from God and holding other things above him. He hung himself. Now that you have seen a little bit about the effects of the mind on the rest of your body and in your walk with Christ, I have a question for you. God made your mind something that no one in the entire universe can fully comprehend. Don't you think you should trust him with it?